Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Redacted Wake Up, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores. And we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for the drop of the Epstein list. Well, there's been a bit of a war that's unfolded in Washington, D.C. between the FBI and the DOJ, the releasing of partial information from the Epstein list. What is it? Why did certain influencers get their hands on some binders? We're going to talk about all of that today as we're waiting for more details about the Epstein list and specifically the video footage that was inside of Epstein's home. Does it show Bill Clinton with little girls? What does it show on the island? Bill Gates. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that there's terabytes of this data. Is that part of the data that was being destroyed at the FBI over the past few days?
We're also going to talk about the cutting of the budget at the Pentagon. We're also going to talk about an economic boycott that liberals are participating. That's really going to show the Trump administration what's what. Also, mass migration in Ireland has united the Catholics and the Protestants. You thought it would never happen. This is one of the world's largest and oldest factions. But we have Ivor Cummins coming on from Ireland to tell us all about that. Is this the thing that unites those two groups? So it's a busy day. The Epstein files, Clayton, do you smell something funny? Does this not smell right to you?
No, there's a lot. I mean, there's many, many pieces of this that don't smell right to me. It smells like we're going to go through, as you peel the layer of this rotten onion back, yeah, you're seeing these factions. If anything could really pull apart the Trump administration right now, it seems to be the Epstein files, mm-hmm, because you have members of Congress who are Trump supporters and loyalists chastising the Attorney General's office while the Attorney General's office is chastising the FBI. And then you have, it's a mess. We're going to get through all of this in a second, but there's one thing that everyone agrees on and everyone is united about. It's your Bumblebee shirt is back today on the show.
So, the bee shirt's back.
Every few months,
It's like once a quarter, you know, yeah, you can't wear it too often, but women, it's a fan favorite.
I mean, men could wear the same freaking shirt every day. Did you see that news anchor one time? He did a thing where he wore the same suit every night for a whole year next to his female co-anchor and no one noticed.
Right.
Because no one notices the men.
Yeah.
No one gives a rat's ass about us.
Well, that's what we get for accessorizing.
Yeah, exactly.
Good one. Terrible. All right.
Send your complaints to David. All right. We've got a lot of news to get to today on the show. But first,
we want to remind you that Redacted is brought to you by Ramp. And Ramp is a great way to simplify your business finances. Now, if you're coming up on tax time, like we all are, and you look at your business finances and you're like, this is a mess. Your accountant's asking you questions and you're like, I don't know the answer to that. Well, then you're not using a great finance software and you need to look into Ramp. Not only do they help you close the books easily at the end of the calendar month, they also help you set and control spending with employee cards. You can get really granular control, such as who can spend what and get notified when they do, in fact. So it's really great for that kind of thing. And also just to have beautiful spreadsheets, beautiful bookkeeping. This morning I was telling Clayton, one day I'm going to be dead. You're going to look into our, you know, family finances and be like, man, Natalie was really organized. She really took good care of us. This is the romantic thoughts I have to myself because I'm a Virgo. Yes. So if you, like me, have this romantic notion of other people looking into your books and thinking that you're awesome, then look into Ramp. Go to ramp.com/redacted. You'll get $250 off when you join Ramp. One more time, let me just make sure I get that right. Ramp.com/redacted and get $250 when you join. Ramp.com/redacted. Cards issued by Sutton Bank, member of the FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
So the last Boy Scout in our chat says, I always notice when Clayton wears his Eagles jersey, his Eagles shirt. Yeah. Well, go Birds. Now you do that. All right. Let's talk about the Epstein files. We just got we're going to dive a little bit more deeply into this a little bit later in the show with Owen Schroyer from InfoWars to kind of met out some of this. Is this like a limited hangout? But first, we just kind of want to bring you the breaking news out of D.C. because we're all sort of watching how is this being rolled out. And there's really honestly, there's a war going on right now between the intelligence community, specifically between the DOJ it looks like, and the FBI. But Nick Sorter posted this a short time ago. Alina Haba says that she just met with Kash Patel and Pam Bondi and does expect the Epstein list to come out today, describing it as shocking. Haba says that she absolutely expects criminal charges to come as a result. Arrests need to come quickly to these fiends, Nick writes. So then on in D.C. today, there was this like dog and pony show where, and some of these people are our friends, so I'm not discounting that they were called. And of course, if Redacted was called and said, hey, would you like to come to the White House and receive a binder of Epstein information? I'd be there 100%. But this is how it was being handled today. You had influencers, folks like Liz Wheeler and DC Drano. Here's Liz Wheeler posting that she got a binder of Epstein files today, exclusive, she writes. Well, it's not exclusive because there were a number of other influencers there next to her. And here's a whole host of them. There's on the left, there's DC Drano, Rogan O'Hanley, who's a lawyer. There's Liz Wheeler. There's a number of other individuals there, Jack Posobiec and others. Again, friends of the show. And fine, they get access to these files, whatever these are. Now, Redacted has learned, our team has learned through sources that these binders are nothing more than publicly available Epstein information. This is all public. So everything that's in these binders, according to sources on the Redacted team, this is all from our own reporting that these are all publicly available information.
So then it's just merchandise? It's just Epstein merchandise?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just collated nicely.
You know, like someone has
like has a whole blog, like they've written, you know, thousands of blog posts over the years, and then they they collate it nicely into a binder. So I'm not exactly sure, but here's a group, you know, there's the group of influencers. Here's Rogan O'Hanley. Here's Simon Godek says Epstein was
it. He says, Epstein was most likely a Mossad agent. We've had Whitney Webb on this show so many times to flush that out. She has two books on the matter. But that does seem like something anybody who studies Epstein does not seem to think that that is a stretch. So he's saying that the people, the influencers here seem to be very pro-Israel. Is that a connection that we can make? It's early. We're all having knee-jerk reactions. But the fact that the people there, so again, are we going to get actually that connection? We've been waiting to hear from Whitney Webb because she's going to be able to parse out. She's the one, obviously, who knows this in depth, and she's going to be able to say, we've been given this in order to not see this.
Here's Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna, who says, I nor the task force were given or reviewed the Epstein documents being released today. A New York Post story just revealed that the documents will simply be Epstein's phone book. This is not what we or the American people asked for. Get us the information we asked for instead of leaking old information to the press. Now, you'll recall, members of Congress have been calling on the Attorney General's office to get this information. They've been asking them privately to give them the information, and they've not heard. People had to jump on social media to put pressure on the Attorney General's office. But it turns out then we learned that the FBI has been destroying evidence. So there, you know, and Kash Patel is in there, I guess, trying to stop that from happening. It's hard to say at this point. I've heard from separate sources at the FBI today who told me that there are terabytes of data inside the FBI that apparently was part of this destroyed evidence. Now, those terabytes of data and those pieces were video evidence from Epstein's house in New York City and from his island. Terabytes of video footage, which may or may not include Bill Clinton, as eyewitnesses have said, with younger women inside on Epstein Island.
Would that be a shock in his house, given the Lewinsky scandal? Come on.
No, it's not a shock at all, but we deserve to see this video footage. If you're going to give us like a phone book of redacted names of victims, that's one thing. We want to see the video footage that you have access to. But if the FBI has been actively destroying it to cover their tracks, this is what we want answers from Kash Patel on. So there is definitely a war going on. I mean, you can sugarcoat it any way you want, but this is exactly happening here. Now, here's a letter that was also just leaked a few hours ago from AG Bondi to Director Patel. I don't know if we verified if this is...
It is verifiable because I think that the influencers that were pictured there have published this. So I believe this is in the files that they received. And this is from AG Bondi to Director Patel saying, before you came into office, I requested the full Epstein file, but I've only received 200 pages, which are flight logs, contact lists and a list of victims' names and phone numbers, but I know I have been informed that there's more. This is not all of it, and you are instructed to give me all of it. Now, she's been on many times since the cabinet meeting, says, you know, all of us cabinet members are friends. We've worked together. So this is something that she's sending to a contemporary, someone she knows well, is Kash Patel. And she's saying, now that you're in there, I expect all of it, please. Right now, it's friendly. But if you look at this post from Marjorie Taylor Greene, it may not remain that way. She is saying, Marjorie Taylor Greene said just minutes ago, this is a war raging within the government. She says, it is coming. There will be more, but the resistance will be beaten and the truth will be revealed. Now, we don't think, we don't have any indication that Kash Patel himself is the wall that AG Bondi has to get over. So who is it? Who is still the wall? Is it the documents that were, what is it, right? And I guess another one of my questions is, what did they intend with this optic of binders? What did the White House intend for us to think, given that they may be full of previously disclosed information? Let's just flush that out, Clayton. What do you think the best of intentions might have been?
By whom? I'm sorry.
By the White House for printing this out.
I don't know. I mean, can we put up Laura Loomer's comments here? Apparently, Laura Loomer was not among the influencers invited. She's, you know, very pro-Israel, of course. So I don't know if, again, if that has anything to do with it, according to the other post that we just showed you. But she says, look, I love President Trump, but how embarrassing for the Trump administration that the release of the Epstein files has been fumbled by giving files regarding a landmark pedophile scandal to a group of influencers instead of having an official agency release them. Not a good look. So I don't know. Again, according to our team here at Redacted and sources that we've spoken to, these files are all publicly available. What these binders are, and it says on the binder, phase one. So is this just like a, hey, here's a summary of what's already out there and available for you. You can read up and get, you know, go through them. Phase two, who knows at this point what's going to come from phase two. So maybe it's just to say we've got something in the works for you.
And you cannot, are they going to breadcrumb us for how long? Also, if it's a phone book, well, we already have phone logs
WikiLeaks already released a lot of this stuff.
Right, yeah. And a lot of those, what are those pink little note cards? We saw those from people who had just simply called him. Yeah. President Trump was in that several times, had called Epstein, left messages with his phone number, and it's in a female writing saying, call him back about this. So will his name be in this contact list? Because we've already seen that. We can't surmise very much from it. And also one point that I continue to make is they can't just release a client list unless they're going to actually indict these people, because we have the presumption of innocence and a right to a fair trial. So if you say, okay, it's Shmom Manx, right? That person then should be indicted and get to fight his innocence. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Well, we're going to follow this throughout the show today. And I spoke to Owen Schroyer. He's going to be joining us in just a little bit later in the show to get his take on this. He's been on this story for a long, long time as well. So is this a limited hangout? Let us know in the comments. By the way, someone in our chat, Tim Grove, says Redacted doesn't seem to believe in free speech in their chat. Yes, we do. YouTube blocks.
You just said that.
You just said that publicly in our chat room, by the way. But YouTube blocks a lot of comments here. So if you swear and other stuff like that, YouTube loves to block comments. But Rumble does not. So if you want a free speech platform, we also stream live on Rumble as well. Tomorrow, Friday, is the economic blackout protest for people who want to protest corporate greed. So this is a, I don't know where this comes from. This is a group of liberals gets together and says that, you know what, because of Trump's efforts to roll back DEI programs since taking office, you're not supposed to shop anywhere. Any of these companies, you're going to block Amazon, Nestle, Walmart, McDonald's. You're not going to do any shopping at all in order to stick it to the man, I guess. You're going to give a real big punch to President Trump. Dan Geltrude is a CPA, and he's the author of Dogs Taught Me Everything I Know About Business. And Dan joins us now to talk about this. Dan, so is this going to work? Is this going to really stick it to the man? What's your take on this?
Well, I don't know. It really depends upon how many people are really motivated by companies rolling back DEI. Now, listen, from my perspective, I actually have no problem with this. I would much rather people exercise some power, economic power, in this way than going out and destroying things and being violent. So if there's enough people that believe in this cause, then you may have some of these companies feeling some pain. And then they'll have to make an assessment as to whether it's enough pain to change course or whether it doesn't hurt at all. Now, let's look at this.
Hold on. I'll let you say that in a second. I love that because we've seen countless times now, like, I don't know, in the video game industry, for instance, I'll just point that out, where you had like Warner Brothers canceling a huge DEI project, $100 million they spent on it. I mean, you're seeing all of these companies right now having to fold up and because guess what? They put out their woke DEI garbage and people didn't buy it. They didn't spend their money to buy it. And that's the market working, right? So I agree with you in that regard.
Yeah, that's to me how it should be. And look, we've seen things happen quite effectively in terms of the power of the purse. So let's look at Bud Light, for example, which was probably the greatest marketing error ever committed. So they went in a direction and their consumers said, hey, no way. We don't want to be part of this type of thing. We're not buying the product. So what happened? Well, Bud Light, obviously, they're still trying to recover. So I'm good with it. I don't necessarily agree with the cause, but if that's how people want to exercise their feelings, go ahead.
Okay, but let me play devil's advocate, because yes, you should be able to do this. It's a First Amendment right to boycott whatever you want. The problem I have with that is that it could lead to stakeholder capitalism, which means that these companies are then practicing politics in order to appease activists, and stakeholder capitalism is what has become so problematic. So what they're asking for is stakeholder capitalism back, right?
Yeah, they want DEI back.
You know, it's really hard here, because what's happening is that every company is getting pulled into a situation where they have to take a side. So yeah. I don't understand why this has to happen, why everyone, quite frankly, or everything has to be labeled. How about you have products, you sell them. If you like them, buy them. If you don't, go somewhere else. And that's the end of it. I don't know why everybody has to get pulled in, but to me, that's actually the politicians and the media doing that. These companies really have no business in these areas. These companies exist to make money for their shareholders. That's what they're supposed to do. All this other stuff is noise.
Well, Apple this week voted, their board just voted to keep their DEI practices in place. And so people can vote with their wallets on whether or not, you know, if it affects, you know, I don't know, if it affects the iPhone or whatever else, people can say, I'm sick of this. I don't want this in my tech products anymore. So I'm just not going to buy your product anymore at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, and I think that's a beautiful thing. I think that people should be able to exert their economic power. And look, on a larger scale, I say the same thing geopolitically. I don't want to see any more wars between countries. If you look at what President Trump is doing right now, right? He's not declaring war. He's using the United States' economic might to negotiate to get things that he believes are more fair for our country. So I say, let consumers do the same thing.
Yeah, and right. Tomorrow's the blackout day, at least it starts. I like, Friday is my day off. I like to go, you know, I like to go to the gun range. I like to spend some money. I like to go to Costco.
We call it his consumerist day, because he goes from Home Depot to Costco to the mall.
To the gun range, to the, yeah.
Clayton may make up for anyone who's boycotting.
Exactly, I'll do the shopping for you, Dan. Dan, great to see you. Are you going to go shopping tomorrow?
No, I am not. I am going to be working all day.
Okay. All right. Well, you got to pack your lunch.
He's boycotting.
Yeah, he's boycotting.
No, I'm not boycotting.
Dan, thank you.
I'm just going to be busy.
Okay. He's not boycotting. He wants to make sure. All right, Dan, great to see you as always. Have a great weekend, my friend.
One of my responses to this, well, you know, liberals are not the hardiest people. Are they really going to be able to go without Amazon? and Target, like they're the main customers.
They're going to go out in the forest and
for
start
those convenience. Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Oh my God, I have to go.
They're not preppers, so they don't overlap with that population. So, okay, show us how hardy you are. I want to see.
They denigrate preppers. They use it as a derogatory if you want to protect your family, which is amazing. Okay, we've got more news to get to. The Pentagon about to slash thousands of jobs. Yesterday, President Trump, I don't know if you saw it, was leaning over to Pete Hegseth, and he said, I know you're going to make these cuts. I know you're going to fire some of these people, these top generals and others, and I know you're making big cuts right now. And Pete Hegseth said, yeah, we're looking at all of it right now. So there's big cuts coming to the Pentagon. And in fact, investors around the world are already planning on the Pentagon making big slashes. Does that mean a big end to wars, pulling U.S. troops out of foreign wars? Oh, I hope so. We're going to talk about that in a second. But hey, I want to tell you about our friends over at Moomoo because they are sponsoring today's show. You can get up to 30 free stocks when you download the Moomoo app. And all you need to do is go to redacted.inc/Moomoo to get it. What is it? Moomoo is a trading app available for users in the United States, Canada, and Australia. Let's talk investing. So in today's market, if you're not staying ahead, you're already falling behind. The recent election shaping policies, rise of sectors like crypto, AI ETFs, you need all the right tools. That's where Moomoo comes in. Your partner for smarter insights, faster moves to help stay ahead of the market. So here's why Moomoo could be your go-to platform. Because let's face it, you need something better. First up, zero commission, zero equity option, contract fees. Yep, you heard that right. Why pay fees when you don't have to? Simple, no nonsense, no surprise charges. And with Moomoo, you get a transparent, no nonsense trading experience with no hidden charges. Canadian users who deposit $2,000 and maintain a minimum eligible account value within 90 days can get a stock cash option of $200 CAD. And Australian users can get up to 10 free stocks. In America, get up to 30 free stocks, along with an 8.1% limited APY on your idle cash for 3 months. So terms and conditions apply. Don't miss out on these great opportunities. Trade with Moomoo. Get your free stocks available for U.S., Canada, Australia users. Go to redacted.inc/Moomoo today. We thank them for their support of the show and get those 30 free stocks. Okay.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Let's talk about the Pentagon. I've been waiting. I mean, if there's one thing I've been passionate about for decades is the amount of waste and abuse that's inside the Pentagon. The military-industrial complex needs to be slashed massively.
And $300 for a screw. That's what the American taxpayers are paying for right now. So it's not just about do we have a strong military, but do we have a wasteful one? Go ahead.
I would pay a lot less for a screw.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that right now.
Is
President Trump really about to slash the size and scope of the Pentagon? Are we really about to end foreign wars? During yesterday's cabinet meeting, President Trump leaned over to Defense Secretary Hegseth to push him to make cuts. So will it happen? Pentagon is set to fire up to 5,400 workers. And of course, the mainstream media like Reuters, which makes money, of course, from USAID, says the backlash. There's a backlash. Yeah, it's from the military-industrial complex, of course. Lieutenant Karen Kiwa, Karen Kiwakowski. Yes, did I name it? I think I got it right. Is a national security expert, a retired U.S. Air Force officer who was openly critical of the U.S. disaster in Iraq. She's a critic of these wars that the U.S. carries out around the world. And is it safe to say, Karen, that you're a progressive? So you also come from that perspective, which we've seen, I think, liberals move in the direction of being sort of warmongers over the past few decades. They've become the party of war. They used to be the party of peace. Is it safe to say that you're maybe a lone voice right now?
I'm really more of a libertarian, and I think we are hearing more libertarian voices and at least libertarian messages when it comes to examining the waste, the fraud, the excess, the unnecessary expenditures that we have for the Pentagon and the empire that has been created. So I'm anti-empire. Does that make me a progressive?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I guess it used to. Yeah, I know.
Well, we don't know.
It's
what
all the weird melding of these parties because, yeah, I mean, you know, liberals back in the day were very much anti-war. They were anti-empire. Yes. They were anti, you know, carrying out regime change operations around the world. And I'm more of a libertarian as well, and I agree in the same way. So it's weird. The liberals have gone so far afield from those tenets. It's kind of strange. So why do you think we're hearing such a big backlash right now? There's a backlash where the liberal media is saying they're so concerned about 5,400 employees about to be fired, and this is really, really terrible.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously anything that they can do to hit back at Donald Trump to make him look like he's making a bad decision— this is part of it, you know, the letting go of employees, civil servants, that kind of thing. But much more of that is coming. It has to happen. And really, you know, it's been pointed out that presidents like Bill Clinton, Obama, other presidents have cut military, have ended programs and put people on the street, so to speak. I served in the military for 20 years, and I remember at least two reduction in forces that happened in the 80s and 90s. So, you know, this is normal. Cutting military is normal. But what I think Trump is talking about doing, if he does it, is really far more drastic than just, you know, small cuts. He's not nipping around the edges. He's looking at a really massive reduction and transformation of our idea of what the defense needs to be for this country. And I do think, and I don't know if Trump will do this, but I do think it's a great opportunity for those who oppose empire to really bring the troops home, to close unnecessary and warmongering bases and military positions abroad. I mean, that we have, I think, 155 countries have some sort of American military presence. That's not needed, okay? That is bad in itself. And then, you know, the whole population in this country, I would say most of them, really don't like fraud. They don't like waste, and they don't like $300 screws. You know, that makes sense to them. And so really it's a popular fixing what's wrong with the military in a lot of ways can be popular. Now, when you start nipping into, you know, the big, you know, Lockheed Martin and General Dynamics and the congressional lobbying, activities, you know, when you start cutting their pet projects and the things that enrich them, you know, kickbacks that they get for their campaigns, just all the dirty stuff that goes on, that defense money funds. When we start nipping into that and cutting that, you know, Congress will be the barrier, not the people. People, I think, agree with this. And the people in the military. Now, I've been retired since 2003, but people in the military today, they care about the same things. They don't like fraud, waste, and abuse. They don't like stupidity, and they don't like working in the middle of stupidity. And there's lots and lots of examples we have to deal with. And now's the opportunity to do it.
But when we look at the military, even those who really are supportive of the military, we know that this ballooning budget has not contributed to quality of life for military members. When we started Redacted, we were freaking out that the military budget was in the $700 billion range. Then the next year was $800 billion. This year it's $910 billion, which is three times that of China's, which has more military personnel. And so is there a way that we can, in fact, shrink the military budget and do better by military personnel?
Oh, yeah, there's tons of ways. First off, reduce the footprint globally where it doesn't make any sense. And that's most places. It doesn't make sense. We also have, and this we don't talk about very much, but we have literally probably 1,000 different legacy systems. And when I say legacy systems, I don't mean just computer systems, weapons systems that have been around, some of them in World War II era, that still have logistics tails, that still have a production line that can be either turned on or actually is running. You know, these create a small number of jobs around the country, but they are not necessary. Nobody's going to notice when we get rid of them, and they should have been gotten rid of a long time ago. We also have We have a lot too many generals. And you can say, well, what's wrong with that? The generals don't cost us very much, but they do, because generals require commands. They require staffs. They require growing missions. They compete with each other for the validation of their missions, the justification. They become political activists for more spending in their part, their pet part of the Pentagon. So we really have to restructure our organization so that there's the right number of people at the top. And all those resources that are now, you know, providing office space and, useless activities that make generals feel like they are doing something, that money can be pushed down into taking care of people. And I know that you've probably done stories on this and certainly seen them, of the condition of American barracks for our enlisted people that, are not living off base. They're living on base in really conditions that they're just absolutely unhealthy, appalling. And it's an embarrassment that we spend more than any other nation, more than the 12 nations underneath us we spend for military stuff. And we have moldy, flooding, contaminated, crowded, falling apart barracks for our people.
It's
that
really
tells you there's a big problem.
Isn't that always the case, though, Lieutenant Colonel? Because, I mean, you have where the massive amounts of money go to the military-industrial complex and the contractors. They're making the millions. They're building the luxury houses around D.C. But it's the rank-and-file soldiers. It's the fighting force that gets stepped on and gets treated so poorly all the time. They can't. I remember, in Iraq, I mean, we couldn't put proper armor on the Humvees. You know, when IEDs were just blasting through it like aluminum foil, and it finally took years of them to like put proper armor on the Humvees, for crying out loud.
Yeah, well, one of the things Trump talks about, and I know Pete Hegseth talks about this, and we'll see if he follows through, but he talks about putting the warfighter and the people on the line who support that warfighter. He's talking about putting them first, taking care of them. Their conditions, and putting money that we have for personnel to those people. So we'll see. I think it is a priority that he has, and it's an important priority. But really, this whole 50% cut, because Trump has offered this up, can we cut our military 50%? Well, we certainly can. And the first step is to really have a set of priorities about what are we doing with our military. And I've always said for years, and I noticed this even when I was in the military, that because I was in the Pentagon on 9/11, right? Very unprotected that day for some reason. And I realized all of this spending does not defend our country, and it doesn't defend our troops, doesn't defend anything. It certainly doesn't defend our borders. We know that. But we spend all this money, and almost all of it is offensive. It is to foment problems abroad, maybe create problems that we can then use the military to solve. I'm not sure the logic behind all of it, but we spend a lot of money. It's not on defense. Why don't we just talk about what it takes to defend our country, to defend the people in this country? And that's a starting point. We can probably do it at 25% of what we're currently spending.
Right. Yeah, I mean, look at these other countries like China, Russia. I mean, look at it as a percentage of GDP, how much they're spending to defend themselves. And we have 900 military bases around the world, hundreds of thousands of forces scattered around the world. I spoke to Dr. Ron Paul this morning. He said something to me. He said back when he couldn't even believe back when he was in Congress, he said he found out that the Coast Guard, they were begging for all sorts of more money and more money and more money. And he found out that the Coast Guard was like operating clipper ships in the Mediterranean. And he said, well, I'm sorry, I thought the Coast Guard was meant to guard our coast.
Our coast.
Yeah. What the hell are they doing in the Mediterranean? Like, this is
and
the kind
Black
of boondoggle.
Sea. The Coast Guard is also in the Black Sea. I mean, that is insane. So that's an easy fix. Pull them back. Yeah. Pull them to port. Yeah. Count your boats.
Save some money.
What you need to do. And address it, whether you have to cut or change your mission a little bit, you do that. That's what Americans are supposed to do. That's what our leadership is paid to do.
And defend our southern border. I mean, I know I'm maybe preaching to the choir here, but if we have over 100 years of history in the United States where our soldiers defended our southern border in the United States. And this is not like some new idea, instead of having forces, forces in Stuttgart, Germany, for crying out loud, could actually be in Arizona. A lot of people in our chat room, I mean, love you, and they're saying, yes, bring our troops home. I mean, I think our audience, we should put up a poll here, but our audience, I think, really agrees. And I think you know, Trump has been asked repeatedly over the past few weeks, are you going to bring troops out of Europe? What do you think it would take for him to do that?
Well, he's on the right track because he has, you know, he's pushing Europe away, treating him like a vassal. They don't like being treated like a vassal, so they're pushing him away. They're saying, how can we be independent of America? That's great. That's good progress. But yeah, if they're independent of us, if Russia and the United States and China are treating each other as peers, not necessarily aggressively, not fearfully, there's no need to have American troops in Europe. They can defend themselves perfectly well. There's just so many opportunities to do of, we can even defend Europe. We can do it from here with the technology that we have. We do not need American troops there. And we haven't really for a long time. And actually, that would be quite popular in places like Germany. Now, we have other European countries. You know, we're building these massive bases in Romania and Poland, and they're already built to some extent, but they're not finished, I don't think. I know the Romanian one is not finished. And why are we doing that? Well, we're doing that because we're leaving Germany and we're getting out of some of these other places that where they're unhappy with us. But why? Those should be canned as well. But it's a lot to ask, but it is not unreasonable for us to reduce our spending in this area.
Can I ask you a follow-up question? And I'll get you out of here on this, unless Natalie has another question here. But you mentioned briefly, and I cannot let this go by, especially when I see the JFK book above your head there. and you mentioned being in the Pentagon on 9/11 on that day. And you said, we were not very protected on that day, oddly enough. Can you elaborate being in the Pentagon that day and why you felt like there was not a level of protection?
I mean... You know, the day 9/11, you know, started out so for most people, you know, a beautiful day on the East Coast, just like any other day. And then suddenly we have buildings falling down in New York. We have airplanes being hijacked. We have this whatever it was in the Pentagon, whatever it was that hit the Pentagon or blew up the Pentagon. And we were in that building, and it's 25,000 military people and civilians working for the Defense Department are in the Pentagon, and we were sitting ducks. We were absolutely sitting ducks. There was so, you know, we can talk. That's a whole nother thing on why that was, but certainly spending the amount of money that we spend, 9/11 should have been a wake up call for a lot more than it was. What 9/11 served as was a reason to fight more wars. That's how the politicians used it. That's what we did as a result of it. But what we should have done was said, this Pentagon defends nothing. It does not defend America, it doesn't defend our borders, doesn't defend our airspace. Not only that, the intelligence aspect of this Pentagon doesn't work because we were prized. So, you know, unless it was
all part of a bigger plan to allow it to be attacked.
Well, certainly.
Yes.
But, you know, we won't really be able to get to all that until we dig through the Pentagon and really shake it up and really shrink it down and really find out what's wrong with it, because there are things wrong with it. And we need to get to the bottom of this, shrink it down. And I think if we really seriously do this, we're going to find out, we're going to get some answers about some things that have happened in the last, let's say, 70 years.
Yeah. And so I guess one question I have is, do you think that the language out of this Pentagon and this White House is indicative of a seriousness to do that?
I do think that they're serious, but I am worried that the people sending this message, Elon Musk, Hegseth, and Trump, are vulnerable. You know, if this doesn't happen in 18 months, 24 months, if we do not dig in, break it up, really reduce drastically, and not just the Pentagon, but we're talking about the Pentagon, it certainly needs it. If we don't do it fast, if we don't do it in a really committed and intense way, we will miss an opportunity that will not come again, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think you're right. They are vulnerable. And there's deep state people, the permanent Washington, the permanent military industrial complex really doesn't want this to happen. So they're going to fight for their money and they're fighting for their lives right now. So that's great having you on the show. Lieutenant Colonel Karen Kiewakowski. Did I get it right? I hope I get it right.
I say Kotowski.
Kotowski. Okay. Then you took all of the extra consonants out there and you just scrunch them down for me. That helps me out. All right. Thank you so much, Lieutenant Colonel. Great to have you on the show. Really, really great guest here. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. All right.
Well, we have more news to get to. We're going to talk more about this Epstein document dump.
Yeah, people are joining us late. They're like, are you guys not even going to talk about the Epstein list? Yeah, we spent the whole first 20 minutes of our show today.
There's more.
We're live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time, so subscribe, and that's where we start the show every day.
Well, you should be nice to our guests, even if they're late.
No, but here. I just saw someone's like, are you not even going to talk about Epstein? It's like,
You should be nice to us, too, in the chat room.
Yes. It's a two-way street, this
Let's all be nice.
This nice thing.
All right. We are going to talk about that. Plus, Protestants and Catholics coming together in Ireland. What's happened? What is the common cause? We're going to talk to Ivor Cummings from Ireland in just a little bit. Before we do that, though, we want to remind you about our show sponsor, which is Armra. Armra provides a form of colostrum that is really great for optimizing your health. Now, colostrum, you may know if you've ever nursed as a mammal, is the first nutrition that we receive in life, and it's an exclusive source of all the essential nutrients we need in order to survive and thrive. It has antibodies, antioxidants, micronutrients, and minerals. It's known to strengthen your immunity and improve gut health. Well, you can get a form of colostrum that doesn't come from another human, but in fact comes from calves. And Armra has harnessed that in order to provide that to you as a nutritional supplement. So look into their offerings by going to tryarmra.com/redacted. That's tryarmra.com/redacted. And if you go to our link, you'll get 15% off your first order. And just look around at some of the things that they've got for you. One more time, that's tryarmra.com/redacted and receive 15% off your first order. Transform your health starting at its foundation. Tryarmra.com/redacted.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
All right, just a few minutes ago, before we got these influencers in Washington, D.C. being handed these binders, I sat down and chatted with Owen Schroyer from InfoWars. He's been covering the Epstein story for very, very long and is not afraid to pull any punches on this. And I, want to ask him, are we about to see a limited hangout with all of this? But first, I had to ask him about his confrontation with former FBI director and part of the deep state cabal, James Comey. Watch this. So what would you do if one of the most corrupt FBI directors in the history of the FBI walked into a room? Would you sit by and sit with your arms folded, or would you do this, like our friend Owen Schroyer did? Watch.
Yeah! James Comey! James Comey! The fired FBI director, James Comey! The deep state hero, James Comey! The Democrat hero, James Comey! You did it! He illegally investigated Donald Trump! Thank you, Comey, for weaponizing the FBI against Donald Trump. Thank you for covering up Hillary Clinton's crimes and setting the stage for the FBI to cover up the Biden crimes, too. Come on, y'all. Let's hear it for James Comey.
I all hope that we would do that. It's one of the greatest pieces of video I've seen in a long time. And Owen Schroyer is a talk show host, former political prisoner, host at InfoWars, and he joins us now to talk about that. I also want to talk about Epstein files and all of that. Owen, great to have you here on the show. Welcome back.
Glad to be here. And, I appreciate that introduction because it's a fair question to ask. I think a lot of people, not just about political activism, but you wonder, what would you do? What would you do in a big situation? And so I like to think that all Americans would act like Americans in a situation like that. Of course, I was in a room full of liberals. So that's a little bit different, but I think that
They all sat there with their arms crossed. I mean, that's why I brought that up, because you were the only one that stood up and said, called it out. I mean, I can't imagine if you told me, hey, honey, tonight we're going to go watch James Comey give a talk. Are they just so unaware of his corruption that you would actually make an evening out of going to see this guy talk?
I would say yes. I think that those are probably, I don't know if it's fair to say, quote unquote fans of James Comey, but certainly the buildup of the media of James Comey and how he kind of ended up posturing himself against Donald Trump. I think he kind of got himself a little fan base. And so they wanted to go out there and meet the former director of the FBI. Whether or not they're aware of the corruption, I don't know. My guess would be probably not. And that's why they're out there. But I think they were a little confused. You could tell they were a little confused because of my faux enthusiasm. They couldn't really tell, like, wait a second, is this real or not? Are we celebrating this? So there was a moment of confusion. I didn't really, I never really planned on those James Comey book tour attendees to really join in on my fun. It was more for the video that has gone viral again now, so that people could see, hey, you know, you don't have to live in fear of these people. These people are not above you. They don't have some status rank above you just because he worked at the FBI or something else. You're an American citizen. You have a First Amendment right, and you need to be ready and willing to execute it when the time comes.
I wanted to bring it up because we're looking at this massive corruption right now inside the FBI. And so this is timely, obviously, this video going viral once again to be able to see this, and you calling out James Comey was just pure. It was just pure poetry. Amazing. So thank you for that. But when you look at the reports over the past 48, 72 hours about FBI agents destroying classified information on their way out the door, we've spoken to a number of whistleblowers over the past few days. I know you have as well, where these individual servers that are not connected to the internet apparently had been destroyed. What's on these? I spoke to another whistleblower this morning who was telling me that these individual servers may have contained terabytes of Jeffrey Epstein surveillance footage that would not have been networked, would not have been connected to the mainframe. Therefore, you know, rank and file individuals may have not had access to that. So what exactly is being destroyed here? We don't know. So when we see these Epstein file drops that Pam Bondi is putting out here, are you worried that we're about to see a limited hangout, meaning we're only getting to see a fraction of this and the Trump administration is hiding some very important information from us?
Well, before I answer that, let me kind of give a little context as to how my thought process works with this. And I know everybody that does broadcast like yourself kind of has a different approach. So I'll go in, I'll do the deep research, I'll do the deep analysis, and then I'll kind of put it down and sit back and look at the bigger picture. So that's kind of how I'm handling this story right now. So we could kind of look into the weeds of why are they holding it back? Why wasn't it day one? Why haven't we had this list already? Who's being protected? Was the FBI erasing evidence, right? All of these kind of, let's hone in on these different issues to get an answer. Oh, I kind of am sitting back and I'm saying, okay, what do we know? Well, we know that Jeffrey Epstein was a convicted pedophile. We know that Jeffrey Epstein was being investigated for sex trafficking of minors, sex slavery. We know that he had an island where apparently people would fly out on his private jet and hang out and do God knows what. And I think we're pretty confident at this point that there's hours, if not days, of footage that was used to blackmail people of activities that went on at that island. So you sit back here and you think, okay, Epstein has been dead now for years. The Maxwell trial, she's sitting in a prison, but apparently her lawyers are trying to get the case to the Supreme Court. There's kind of some shadiness, some fog around that situation. But still, that shouldn't impact necessarily the Epstein files. The Epstein case is already closed. He's dead. So whatever's going on in the Maxwell case, you think we should still be able to get access to the Epstein files. So I'm sitting back and I'm saying, okay, what's really going on? Somebody is being protected. Somebody is being protected in this. So when you mention a limited hangout, you say, well, then who are they limiting us from, right? Who is being protected? Who is being limiting? There's really no reason why we don't already have this information. And if there was really this gusto, and I'm all about results. So let's see what Pam Bondi, let's see what Kash Patel end up doing at this point. When they said day one, maybe it was just a turn of phrase and they meant quickly. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll see the results. But yet there is a demand. The only reason Pam Bondi had to do this slow release or this drip drop that apparently we're supposed to get, I mean, I don't know what it's going to be. I doubt it's going to be a full delivery. The only reason we're even getting here is because the people were demanding it. There was pressure from Republicans in the Senate. There was pressure from Republicans in the House. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't be getting anything. So what's going on? So clearly they're sitting there and deciding, what are we going to release and how are we going to release it? Okay, so back to the bigger picture. Well, that means that the intentions that we were led to believe that they had was full release day one. Now, whether it's day one or not, whatever, but full release. We are expecting full release, unredacted, everything. And we don't have it, period. That's the story.
Right.
That's the story that we have. We were told we were going to get everything, and we have nothing. So whatever's going on right now, to me, you can call it a limited hangout. You can call it suspicious. You can call it somebody protecting someone or an intelligence asset or an entire intelligence community. But I think the bottom line, when you just draw back and look at the bigger picture, we don't have it. We do not have it. This is a human interest story. This is an American national, really security interest story. We want to know, are our politicians blackmailed? Are some of the most influential people on our culture blackmailed? What type of activities were they involved in exactly that led to this blackmail? We're still asking the questions today because we did not get the transparency we were promised. So we'll see. Results are what matter. But as you and I sit here and talk, and we were debating before we went on air, how far do we want to go? Because something could change by the end of the day. Something could change tomorrow when somebody watches this. But as you and I are sitting here talking, we do not have anything. So I guess the files are still allegedly sitting on Pam Bondi's desk.
Right. Right. And to your point about blackmail, who's doing the blackmailing? I mean, there's been plenty of rumors that, you know, and we know that that Epstein was an FBI informant. We do know that much. We do know that there are definitely Mossad ties to Epstein. So how deep does this go? And when Pam Bondi comes out and says on Jesse Waters' show the other night, you know, there's 250 victims or over 250 victims. So we're mostly concerned about making sure that those names are redacted and protecting those victims. I want to believe Pam. You know, I consider myself a friend of Pam over the years. So I want to believe her. But is there something more than just those 250 names? That's why they're slow rolling this, that there's something more nefarious at play here that we're just not getting access to.
Well, I think you and I are kind of in the same boat. And I'll respond to your to what you're talking about first here before I talk about the boat that we're in. I just simply don't buy that. This again, this is a case that has Epstein's been dead for years. What victim protection programs are we still trying to run here that shouldn't have already been run? And by the way, what protections exactly are we talking about here? Are their lives in danger because they are witnesses in a case still? What case is that? Are their lives in danger because whatever story they have to tell is so threatening to the power structure, to a intelligence community, that they somehow have to be protected? Well, the people that were abusing them, they certainly know who they are. So who exactly are we protecting here? But here's the boat that I find us in, Clay, and based off what you said, I think that we're in a similar boat. You know, we have been so desperate for political leadership like what we're getting from Donald Trump for our entire lives. We've been desperate for somebody to get in there that actually really knows what he's doing, wants to build the economy, wants to have common sense policy, deals with the media without the politically correct censorship and always second guessing about how he's going to approach them. We really want to get fully behind this administration, right? I mean, we really want to push them to where we want them to go. We want this to see the America First, make America great again. We want to see it all be successful. And we don't really want to be naysayers, right? I want to believe Trump is going to be the best president of my life. I want to believe the people he's selected are going to do what he wants them to do. But now we're sitting here looking at Pam Bondi saying, hey, what's going on? What's going on? Why are members of the House having to reach out to you on X because they can't get in communications with you? Why are senators saying, hey, let's release the Epstein list, and we still don't have it? So what exactly is going on here? Why did Kash Patel say day one, we're almost a week into him at the FBI, we still have nothing from the Epstein list, nothing from the Epstein files? So it's really, I think that this is going to be a very telltale moment of perhaps even the entire administration. If they fail to deliver on the Epstein list, it's going to cast a very long shadow over trust and transparency. That's just the truth. That's just the truth, whether I like it or not. And so I want to cheer. I don't want to be a cheerleader, but I want to be a cheerleader. Like, I want them to be successful and give me something to cheer about. There's a lot of things we can cheer about, like Doge. But if they don't release the Epstein files and we don't get down to the bottom of what Jeffrey Epstein really was, who he really was, and the operations he was really running, This is going to cast a long shadow over the Trump administration. That's ultimately going to be Pam Bondi's legacy, maybe even Kash Patel. I mean, he has little other options, I think, to go off of. But to me, this is something that is imperative for the American people to know what Jeffrey Epstein was up to, who he was blackmailing, and why, even to this day, there still seems to be a heightened sensitivity to that information coming out from Washington, D.C.
Amen. I think you hit the nail right on the head. Absolutely. And that will be her legacy. And I hope that it isn't, because I think she's incredible. I think she's very promising. I've worked with her, you know, on really fascinating going at fraud cases and things like that, trying to bring these big stories out into the daylight in the state of Florida. So I know that she has a good heart. I don't know what else is going on here. So you're right. We still have a lot of unanswered questions. And I hope that this isn't her legacy where they're stonewalling on Jeffrey Epstein files. Owen Schroyer, always great to see you, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us here. We appreciate you as always, and hope you have a great dinner plans tonight with James Comey, as always. Thanks, Owen.
I can't wait to see James again. We're going to have to sit in the giraffe room.
7 feet tall giraffe room. Owen, great to see you. Thanks so much. Bye. So thanks, Owen. So I just spoke to Owen just a few minutes ago before these influencers were handed these binders at the White House. So if you're joining us late, you don't know what's going on. Let me just kind of recap this for you here. OK, so back an hour and a half ago, a bunch of influencers left the White House holding up a bunch of binders that said Epstein files phase one on them. And so apparently these were given to them by Attorney General Pam Bondi on that side. But apparently we've now learned that those files from sources have told us that these were all public. Everything in these binders were public. It was already available. So this is like collated sort of information already that was already publicly available to all of us. Okay, so that's one piece of this. The other piece of this we're now learning is that the FBI is specifically stonewalling the release of the rest of these documents. And we're learning that from a number of different sources, and not the least of which is Savannah Hernandez, who now just posted this a few minutes ago, who said, I've also received an Epstein files binder, but I want to correct the record. The Trump administration was originally set to announce these documents in a press conference this afternoon. Bondi has stated that some of the information is already public and that the real smoking gun documents are being withheld by the FBI. This binder is this morning's meeting is a part of the Trump's administration to push to bring independent journalists and media to speak directly to the highest members of the administration in an effort to be the most transparent administration in history. So, yes, that's exactly what this is all about. And so what do you make of these, you know, these influencers receiving these binders? Most of this information, again, is already publicly available. So nothing groundbreaking, apparently, in these binders. And we're now finding out that the FBI is stonewalling the release. And of course, this comports with the information we've been hearing about servers being destroyed at the FBI as Kash Patel was coming in. Terabytes of video footage that were housed offline in servers that are not network connected at the FBI. What do those servers contain? Terabytes of video footage inside of Epstein's home and on the island, New York home and on the island. Terabytes of video footage that was stored on these servers externally from the network. And according to FBI sources we've spoken to, that's what was happening. They were also, according to Garrett O'Boyle, FBI whistleblower that we spoke to yesterday, also learned that shredding of documents was also taking place. Massive amounts of shredding of documents was happening. So you would think Kash Patel now as director walks in there. Can you imagine these people are in that room doing this while he's now the FBI director? So there's a big war happening in the intelligence community right now, and many sources confirming that there is evidence being destroyed and the FBI is withholding this information from the American people. So we'll continue to watch this story. Now, I don't think we need to play that other thing there, Philip. I was thinking about it. The other Owen piece there. I don't think it's necessary, but I mean, what do you guys think about this? I think it's a stunning admission that we have this war inside going on when you have Kash Patel now at the head of it, Dan Bongino also in there. And it seems to me that we're not being told the truth, or things are being held from us. Yeah, Pam Bondi is being frustrated by this, and she's trying to give us this information, and she's telling us, hey, the FBI is withholding key pieces of evidence that we were trying to get out to you. Go ahead, Philip.
I was just going to say, I've often felt like we're never going to see this list. It's just going to be promise, 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 and I don't think we're ever going to see it because there are too many people on it that won't let it happen. And if we ever do see it, it'll be, my guess is it'll be highly politicized, so you'd only see basically half the list.
Yeah, I think it's how much of this will be redacted, like our show name. John Kirikou, who's a CIA whistleblower, we've had John on the show a number of times, basically says, you know, when can we expect these Epstein files? And the FBI is, in fact, covering up video footage and documents from Epstein Island. What is the FBI hiding? Who does it implicate? President Clinton? I mean, who are they trying to protect here? Bill Gates? How many other billionaires are being protected in all of this? And this is a directive from the President of the United States. So, again, we're watching this with bated breath. We were told that we would see something shocking tonight. So these binders are not the shocking piece. Just so you understand, these binders that were given to these influencers and friends of the show. Like, I don't, again, if they called me up and said, hey, Clayton, come to the White House. We want to give you a binder of Epstein documents. I'm there. But it turns out all of this stuff is already public anyway. So it's not very, I'm not going to fly to Washington for that purpose. You know, I'll just send me a PDF. I'll read it. I don't need a little dog and pony show where I marched and holding a binder up and taking pictures of it. You know, I don't need to do that.
Like, I'll be excited when they release something that Whitney Webb doesn't already know.
Yes. Bingo. Bingo. Okay, so we're going to watch this unfold throughout the evening. I may even bring you a special report tonight. We'll see as this unfolds. If there's something that's, you know, I can provide value with it, I will do that. Like Joy Reid. My show has value. I'll do it. I know Natalie's standing by. She's got to do this interview. Okay. All right. Let me get to it. So, we're going to talk about the illegal immigration backlash, of course, in Europe has brought unlikely groups together trying to say, close our border now. So we're going to talk about illegal immigration in just a second. But first, gold hitting an all-time high. I just spoke with Dr. Ron Paul this morning, and we had a really interesting discussion about gold. What does it mean at Fort Knox if we don't find the gold? How much is actually there? Can we reevaluate the price of gold? Do you know the gold at Fort Knox is only valued at like $42 an ounce? The price of gold right now is almost $3,000 an ounce on the open market. Will Trump reclassify the price of gold that's held at Fort Knox? They can do that. Putting it at market price, $3,000 or even $5,000 in order to pay down the United States debt? Can they do that? So all that to say, the U.S. dollar is in real trouble. When I spoke to Dr. Paul, he said, we have about 6 months to really see what's going to happen with the future of the U.S. dollar. Can we get this budget under control? Can we control this inflationary spending? Can we stop printing all of this money? Can we reduce the size of government? If we can't, gold is like the best choice for us right now as a safe haven against this volatility, that and silver. And our friends at Lear Capital can actually help you invest in precious metals. You can call them right now. Get on the phone with them and just give them a call, 1-800-613-3557. They're an American company. They can send gold right to your house, gold coins if you want, silver coins. You can store them in your gun safe. Or they're stored in an offsite facility under 24-hour lock and key and guarded facilities, which you can do that as well, which is what Natalie and I do. I don't want like that amount of gold sitting in my house. So it's under a secure facility, and you receive your audited documents from that gold facility where they go in, they do what's called assaying, where they actually test the gold to make sure that it's pure, and they do all of that. You can go visit it anytime you like, in fact, unlike Fort Knox. So give them a call. And right now they've got a special report on this Fort Knox issue and like what this looks like for America to understand both the tariffs and the gold at Fort Knox. So when you call them, ask them for that free guide just about what this year means for gold and silver investing, or go to LearRedacted.com. Again, call their 800 number, jump on the phone, just have a conversation with them. But I highly recommend it. This is where Natalie and I buy our gold. 1-800-613-3557 to get your free guide, or just go to LearRedacted.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
The Protestant-Catholic divide in Ireland is one of the world's oldest and ongoing conflicts tied to, of course, religious and political identity. But those groups may be coming together to protest a common cause in Ireland, which is mass migration. Next month, these two groups are set to demonstrate side by side.
Sunday, the 23rd of March, 1 p.m., Belfast City Hall or the Guildhall, Derry. Come and show your opposition towards this mass illegal, unvetted immigration that is being pushed on our people. It's causing harm to our men, women and children. And we're not going to take it anymore. We want to show that we do not want this happening any longer. Come along, bring your flags, bring your banners with stats and stories of what's happening all around Ireland, north and south. And let's show them we're not going to take this anymore. It goes without saying, this is a peaceful gathering, so come along and show your support on the day. With both communities unifying and coming together, that's a strength like no other. So let's do this, Northern Ireland. Let's stand together like the brothers and sisters that we are. We aren't so different after all, like they always wanted us to believe. Our strength is our unity. See us on the day.
Ireland has indeed been flooded with migrants. Now, 22% of their population is made up of non-citizens. Ivor Cummings joins us from Ireland. He has been warning about leftist policies in Ireland for years and how mass migration is tearing apart the fabric of society. He joins us to discuss. Good to see you, Ivor Cummings. Thanks for coming back on Redacted.
Great to see you again, Natalie.
So, okay, what do you think of this? Is this actually a unifying cause between these groups? What is the current state of mass migration in Ireland?
Well, the whole situation is pretty nuts. I mean, it really accelerated after Ukraine war in 22. And I think I mentioned on the show before that our Minister for Children and Migration, I believe at the time, sent out a tweet in Ukrainian saying, Ireland's open for business, come on over. Which was understandable with the war going on, very unfortunate. But he also, his department sent out around seven or eight other tweets the same day in languages including East African and Georgian, I believe. So it was under the cover of Ukraine. But ultimately, it's the UN agenda, and that goes back to Rockefeller Foundation. And we know in 2015, I think, Soros came out with 500 million, and he basically told the EU, you're going to have to flood the zone. A million per year minimum, and he wanted them to set up 12,000 sterling, I believe, per year for each immigrant. And we also had Peter Sutherland, an Irish person, sadly, and he was head of Goldman Sachs, and then he moved straight into the UN head of migration. And he began to, in the 2008-2009 period, lobby the UK government and lobby all over the place. To get mass migration. He even made a comment in a British inquiry into this. He made a comment that you're focusing on bringing in skilled migrants. You're going to have to drop that. You're just going to have to effectively flood the zone. So we know where it comes from. But this Irish lady, yeah, Northern Ireland, the Catholics, Protestants have been against each other, I guess, particularly in the 60s and 70s and 80s, the Troubles period in Northern Ireland. There were bombs and pitched battles in the streets. Very difficult time. But now it's largely settled. But it's great to see this lady. 23rd of March, it looks like. They're going to bring together the Protestants and the Catholics, the kind of traditional enemies, if you will, into a big event in Northern Ireland. And interestingly, last point, Natalie, I had a memory of something happening last summer. And sure enough, last August, Catholics and Protestants did a big rally in Northern Ireland. So it's already actually happened, whatever about happens on the 23rd of March.
And so explain what the common cause is that they're saying, look, our society needs to be recognizable to those of us who are Irish. And if you're going to break the laws down, there are laws to migrate legally to Ireland. Shouldn't we all have a say?
Well, this is exactly it, because, I mean, when I was young, there were the Vietnamese boat people. And the numbers were manageable. They came from the Vietnam War and everyone embraced them. They came, they worked hard, they set up restaurants. They were your classic migrants, like going to America or in England in the 50s, 60s, 70s. You had lots of Indian and other people went to the UK and they set up little shops and stores all over the place, really industrious, working two jobs. That's classical migration. It's got a level kind of cadence. It's manageable numbers, and the people come and work really hard. That's the classic everyone was used to. But what they've done now in the last few years, based on Sutherland, Soros, the UN, and this kind of agenda, they're ramming it down everyone's throats. So they're flooding the zone. Ireland already had a housing problem. We've got a homeless problem. And they're just pumping in incredible numbers. And what they're doing, Natalie, is they're setting up IPAS centres. So large industrial kind of like a permanent tent city all over Ireland. And it's quite secretive. And then there's the public side. They're buying up hotels and people are making a fortune. Local kind of schlieveens, as we would say, businessmen, are making an absolute fortune from our taxes for converting hotels, nursing homes and other buildings. They put in a new planning law that buildings not normally for habitation, they've put in an exemption for mass migration. So our puppeteers are flooding the zone just with no qualms whatsoever. And luckily, the people are beginning to realize this isn't immigration. This isn't what we always had for a century that was healthy and people integrated. This is flooding in very different people who will not integrate, who will ghettoize, and who will ultimately undermine the fabric, societal fabric of our countries. It's not racism to say that. It's not far right. This is basic common sense.
But it's almost like the history of Ireland has been erased and you're being treated like a colonial power. Like, come on, white people, just, you know, stop feeling this way about others. But Ireland was never a colonial power. Do people forget that?
No, and it's often said, but the Irish migrated all over the world, and they did. And when they got there, mm-hmm. they worked bloody hard, you know. Police, I think, firemen and building were the classics. But the migration was very controlled into America and into the UK. The paperwork was largely done. And they completely integrated, like the Indians. I know many Indians in the UK, and their elderly parents now are shocked at what's happening. And they came to the UK and they put their kids in schools and they wanted them to become British, like British Indian, but totally British. But what we're seeing now is very, very different. So this is clearly an agenda and the people are beginning to wise up. One positive sign is the media that were screeching far right and racist to anyone who wondered what the hell was going on, quite rightly, that media has quietened down now. They're not using the racist and far right terms. And I'd say it's because even the journalists themselves are getting heat from their brothers, sisters or relations asking them what the hell is going on. So
right.
Lots of people want to know what's going on.
Now, obviously, when you have groups that are not used to living together and they're suddenly thrown together, It's natural. It's not racist to say that that would lead to crime. Ireland has typically had a low crime rate, but it is rising. Can you talk to us about how that actually plays out in Irish society right now?
Well, it's increasing. I wouldn't say it's off the wall so much, but remember, we're early on in this insane globalist plan. But there have been multiple incidents with stabbings and sadly kind of rape events, and they're increasing. Now, Sweden, I saw an article, it was actually in mainstream, I think it was last week, that it's gone from being one of the lowest crime countries in Europe to being basically almost the rape capital of Europe. Now, yes, they do define rape in a more lenient way than other countries. But still, Sweden has bombs going off, massive crime. Sweden's under assault. But remember, in 2015, Soros and the guys targeted Sweden with NGOs. There's lots of powerful NGOs paid by tax dollars to ram countries full of usually African and Syrian and Far Eastern migrants. And now Sweden is reaping the benefits, if you will. So they're not integrating. Yes. That's the key. And Ireland is on its way there, absolutely. And England, we saw last summer, horrific scenes going on. Because I always say, it's not, people should never have any judgment of the migrants. The migrants are only pawns. If you think about it, the ultimate racists on our planet are Soros and the UN people ramming countries full of migrants and causing social issues and violence and problems. They're the ultimate racists because they're literally force-feeding people, using them as pawns for a globalist agenda and objective. So they're the racists. So we should never be harsh on the actual migrants, because they are being moved by NGOs, told they're going to get a new life. And you can't blame them for getting on the boat and getting on the train. The problem
and often
is
lied to as well. They're sold a bill of goods that once you get here, you're guaranteed asylum. That is not the case. They have to jump through hoops to prove who was chasing them or what have you. They do get, you know, a means of subsistence, but they don't get gainful employment. It's not the, you know, paradise that a lot of them are promised. And so idle hands, what is the saying? Idle hands do the devil's work. So then we see.
Yeah.
That's what's happening
devil
with these populations.
Devil finds work for idle hands.
That's it. Yeah, I'm terrible with idioms. Exactly right. But I want to ask you. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, that's exactly it. I mean, and also, if you have NGOs, and there's a lot of them, and some of them are major offenders, they just want to stuff the Western countries with any and everything they can get their hands on. So you will inevitably have criminal and kind of low-life elements wanting to escape their jurisdiction, not genuine asylum, but just criminal elements who want to get out of town, if you know what I mean. So in between the other migrants who are looking for a new life, etc., you're going to have a bad element. But remember, our politicians and the NGOs, they don't care. In fact, it seems that for the Soros kind of agenda, the more trouble, the better, because it divides society. So the more there's trouble as they ram these people into our countries, the more disruption and civil strife, the more they can justify hate laws and justify stronger police powers to stamp out on riots and protests. Do you see how it works? One hand feeds the other.
Exactly. So I want to ask you if there is some sort of Trump effect that's bleeding across the pond, because in the United States, at least, we have given ourselves license to talk about mass deportations and mass migration and how that has torn apart our society. So is there something to that effect that the Irish are saying, look, the Americans can do it. Can we do it?
Yeah, well, Natalie, it's an interesting question. A pal of mine, Eddie Hobbs, kind of an Irish celebrity who got cancelled for being honest about these matters and more, he pointed that out, that with Trump getting in, we're going to see a huge volte-face, a huge shift in the politics in Ireland. And so far, what we're seeing is a dramatic silence, and it's like the media and the puppeteers' wings have been clipped. Because everything that happens in America rolls over to Europe. Now, In this case, I think it's going to be harder to roll over a Trump effect to Europe. And we see the Irish media screeching and whining about what Trump is doing in the USA. And obviously, they're coming out with massive misinformation about the DOGE cuts, and they're coming out with propaganda against Trump. That is happening, but it's not got the strength that it used to have. And they're kind of shutting up about calling people far right and racist. So definitely the politics or the atmosphere has changed. And I think we're seeing the effect that many people were hoping for. So we're not there yet, but it's certainly helping us. And me and all of my kind of professionals in our networks, when Trump got in, we thought, whew, that is going to give us some breather in Europe. But the thing is, and this is the killer, if Europe had just gone kind of insane and was driving all these policies, you could get a quick correction. But the problem is, we got to remember, they're being driven with iron in a glove from top elite organizations and NGOs, and they are going to resist the Trump effect coming to Europe in a massive way. So we're going to have a pitched battle. I'll give you a quick example, Natalie. Only last week, Gripped, which is an Irish news outlet, that's the only one that honestly covers the mass migration disaster and the numbers. They're unique in that respect. They found out that last summer, the Irish police, after a mass migration incident in Newtown Mount Kennedy, where they brought in police, it is believed, from England, who would deal rough with the locals, and they were all balaclavaed, and they rammed in a massive encampment of illegal migrants, I guess, into this village in Ireland. So a lot of the locals got together. There were grannies, granddads, young people. These are ordinary people saying, hold on, you're going to destroy our village here. And they were beaten and they were maced and they were treated dreadfully. But the interesting thing was, the politicians got the police last summer to use Article 63 law in Ireland, which is for money laundering and drugs. It was a special law put in to get private information if there were these serious crimes. They used that law to go after Twitter to get Grip's Twitter account and private messaging, and also 8 or 9 other private citizens' Twitter accounts. So now that's out, and people are publishing these orders. Now, Twitter beat them in court, luckily, but it shows you how bad it's got. If the police of Ireland will go after private information using drug and money laundering laws, right, for people who are just trying to save their village.
Oh, my goodness. I had not heard of this, so it's Gripped Media on X.
G-R-I-P-T. And I'll send you a link after to the tweets where this was all revealed last week.
That's wild. Okay. Yeah, thank you for that information. So Ivor has lots of great information on his X feed. You can follow him at Fat Emperor on X. It's always great to see you. Thank you for explaining this to us.
No bother, Natalie. Till next time.
That's going to do it for Redacted today. And this is our last live show of the week because we're live Monday through Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. But we have a newsletter you can continue to read and study. It's at redacted.inc. We also have a store. If you'd like to support Redacted and show the world that you do so, go to redactedstore.com. You can get mugs, T-shirts, stickers. Tell the world that you are in... non-compliant, that you will not comply, that you think communism equals starvation. We have all kinds of things like that. You are a non-pacifist peace extremist. I came up with that one. I still like it. I'm sticking with it. We are here for peace. So check out our offerings at redactedstore.com. We will have content throughout the weekend, so stay tuned to whatever channel you watch Redacted, and we'll see you live next Monday. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye now.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.